The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Cooking Like a Pro with Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef.
I am back.
Mrs. Chef Krista is here. She doesn't have to call in. That's nice.
Woohoo!
We appreciate that. But you have found us here at KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. I think if you'd like to call in, we do have that option available. Christina would love to patch your call through if you'd like to reach out to her. Our number down here is 530-605-4567. And, you can actually, if you'd rather type, see, I'd rather talk and my wife would rather type. Okay. Cause she's technology and I'm a caveman. So, you can also, type something in and send it to cookinglikeapropodcast.net. Again, cookinglikeapropodcast.net. So things to talk about today. We are, I didn't actually ask my wife if she is excited. I am.
I'm just excited to be back, not on the phone.
Oh, well, so I'm excited, but, you know, food kind of excites me. I'm that kind of a guy. Been doing it for long enough. If you're going to be good at something, you might as well be good at least one thing. So, but I wanted to start off talking because we've been talking about produce, ups and downs and, everything for a while during our first segment. And one of the key factors, and this is something that goes into should go into all produce decisions, is the maintenance of it, the maintaining of this product that you're getting. You know, we've talked about, you know, wanting to get the quality. You know, go to the farmer's market. They have the big farmer's market down behind City Hall in Cypress every Saturday. What time does that start, huh?
7:30.
Okay, 7:30. I don't get up that early on Saturdays, but she does. But so, you know, get some good quality. Get something that's in season. Obviously, if it's there, it's going to be of both of those things that we want, season and high quality. You know, no bruising, nothing soft on the outside. When when I started, we didn't have the internet. In fact, we didn't have computers. I don't think in 62, but.
Did you have a dial-up phone?
Yeah.
Probably did.
It may have been. It may have been. But now you can look things up, and it's so easy to sit there and do it. If you're not sure about, you know, what the quality is that you need to be looking for, of course, everything is available on the internet. And the second thing we know is not everything on the internet is true, but the shelf life, of course, would be something else to look at. You know, with quality, temperature, moisture, but temperature and moisture are also big concerns for shelf life. There's, I can't think of any fruit or vegetable that you want to keep wet. Period. I don't know. Can you, hon, think of, I mean.
Not so much wet as a little bit of just air moisture, humidity.
Yeah. Well, humidity, because, in the crisper, I don't know, in the fridge, but I know that it's, moisture is, you know, moisture is where bacteria grows. So getting just to the bacteria question, but you know, your refrigerator's at 40, your food's supposed to be hotter than 140. So you want to keep it out of 40 to 140, which of course is what we call the danger zone. So you don't want it, any of your products to sit in that, especially leftovers. A lot of people make that mistake, right? There's a little condensation. My wife's heard me bring that up more than once. Then also the temperature. I mean, know whether it's something that sits out. You know, tree fruit, bananas are also another one that give off ethylene gas. So something else to be, aware of for things that are sitting out, because ethylene gas will, cause fruit, it will cause whatever is around it. That ethylene gas is that's a compound that will cause them to ripen faster. So if you don't want it to ripen faster, stay away from it. Cause you put an avocado, if you want to, an avocado that's not ripe overnight, just stick it in a paper bag that can still breathe and throw a banana in there.
Well, the thing to think about with food is it's a living organism, and it continues to grow and then into decay. And what do you use for growth? You need light, you need water. And those two things, if you have light and water present, that's going to continue the breakdown even quicker because it's continuing the growth pattern.
Yeah, and again, we want to keep we don't want to give bacteria any place to hang out. And then flavor, of course, the natural sugar. You want that natural sugar to expand in there, so that's something you want to look at. Where is this at? I know that a lot of people, when their bananas get those little spots on them, you remember what those are called, huh?
Sugar spots.
Sugar spots, yes. And why are they called sugar spots?
Because they have turned into sugar.
Turned into sugar.
But to me, they taste like alcohol. I do not like brown bananas. I like a hint of green on mine. I am not a sugar spot guy.
I like my bananas sweet. But let's go ahead and go to the phone lines. We have David online, too. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had a similar question. You may have already answered it, but I didn't catch it. If I leave my crock pot on, how long can I, like, let's say I have pot roast in there, how long can I keep it on warm before it kind of gets bacteria?
Well, you have to hold it above 140, David, and that's a great question. I appreciate it because, again, bacteria starts growing between the 40 and the 140, and that's why refrigerators are going around usually generally around 38. Should be much warmer than that. But definitely at 140 is the temperature that your product needs to be kept at. And warm will keep it, should keep it, you know, well above 140. If you're concerned, check the temperature. But the basic rule of keeping anything around 70 degrees is no more than 2 hours. So, again, I'm not a scientist, but you don't want foods in the danger zone more than 4 hours. They consider that 70 right in the middle of it. So you're basically going to want to make sure that it's not in that area any more than that. But if the crock pot automatically shuts off at the time set, and then, it has a lid on it, so it's probably going to be well over 140 for quite some time. What do you have anything particular that you like cooking in the pot, Dave?
So I threw in like some chuck roast, for instance, and I left it on warm, and I was wondering, like, can I leave it on warm for a whole day?
No. You definitely don't want to leave it on warm because you want it to cook to start with, correct? So once it's cooked. Okay. Is your question whether you want to? Is the crock pot a good way to heat food up?
No, just to keep it so I don't have to put it in the fridge and then reheat it. Can I just keep it on warm? For a day.
Yeah, just make sure it's above 140 degrees. If you don't have a direct temperature gauge, then, you know, I'd get one. And just make sure that you keep it above that. It doesn't take long to warm up. There might be better ways to do that because a crock pot is
not best practice, I'm sure.
Probably not the crock pot. Okay, you bet. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you calling in. Crock pots are one of those things that are just fantastic. And, again, we appreciate Dave listening and calling in as well. And the thing about the crock pot is that was where I started. You know, as little Chef Cal at 9 years old coming home from school and having that little post-it note from Mom on the refrigerator. I've mentioned that before, and it was, you know, turn off the crock pot, put the casserole in the oven, get the water ready for the vegetables, or toss the salad, or whatever that was.
Well, the crock pot was the original set it and forget it.
Yeah.
Because you could literally leave the house and it would cook for you while you were gone.
Yeah. Well, in our house as well, there was, you know, Mom and Dad both worked. So it was something that could be done, and it would be, you know, ready when everybody got home, and you wouldn't have to worry about, you didn't have a 9-year-old kid that wanted to be a chef. So that changed it too. But, and the last thing on this I wanted to touch with real quickly before we go to the break is the texture. So again, you want things to be firm. You know, you don't want to be soft. Remember that you want them to be able to last. The most anything you get at a farmer's market should have an easy week plus on it. The only maybe item that might not would be your berries. But as long as you keep your berries dry, store them wrapped up, in a container with a paper towel, and they'll be fine. So, if we need people to follow us. How do they follow us?
They can follow us through the podcast, the Cooking Like a Pro podcast, which is on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and The place I like to hang out is Instagram. That's where you're going to find me actually hanging out with
Facebook,
you.
All that. Okay. Well, see, I didn't know that, so I had to ask her. I don't even know if I'm following us. We probably ought to check that out. All right, folks. We'll be back in just a moment.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
It's fall, y'all, and that means pumpkin flavors are here. Get on over to Black Bear Diner and get your fill of everyone's favorite sweet cream pancakes, drizzled with pumpkin pie sauce and topped with whipped cream and maple syrup. Visit Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. We'd just like to thank Reading Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Reading Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
All right, a little frim-fram bringing you back to Cooking Like a Pro. Again, Chef Cal with my Mrs. Chef Krista sitting across from me, and we are talking about food. Again, if you'd like to join us, the number here, 530-605-4567, and we are KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, and of course, Cooking Like a Pro podcast. You know, I did something I probably shouldn't have done. When was this? Sometime between now and last Wednesday. My son, my 14-year-old son.
15.
How old is he now?
He's 15.
15, okay.
He's does, almost 16, so he's almost driving.
He does live with us. Chris also takes care of the numbers. But anyway, he's become an expert in top ramen. The kid's just a top ramen nut, you know. So if we do it, we'll, you know, throw in some fresh vegetables and some lemongrass and ginger and, you know, some edamame and snow peas or whatever it is that we'll put in. But he's back there doing the mad scientist, routine. I noticed, it was going into, yeah, you know what? Actually, it was over the weekend, and he was making this thing. It was a spicy Japanese shin, which is, you know, Japanese for spicy. So it's some shin noodles. And I said, so he's doing the mad scientist thing. He's got the ginger out. He's got some poultry base. He's got a variety of things. And I look at the back of the package, and again, this is where I made my mistake. There are... And we're talking about processed foods, or maybe we should say, maybe the correct term is over processed foods. There are 50 ingredients in this package. 50 ingredients in one, what is this? Like, I don't know, 4.2-ounce container of, I don't even know if you should call this food, because I'm not sure how much in it falls into the category of food.
The dehydrated vegetables.
Too. Yeah, dehydrated vegetables. So they would be the ones with no minerals and vitamins and
they're for color
and nutrients in there. Wow. Anyway, it just really got me thinking, and I believe that one of the things that, as you know, we're always seem to be in a hurry. Remember, we can go back to the adage that we said that over here in America, we eat to live. We're just in such a hurry. And one of the things that needs to happen, I really truly believe, is the process of slowing down a little bit. And part of that process of slowing down is slowing down in the supermarket. You know, I mean, there's a label for everything. Even that little sticker on your watermelon tells you something, or your bell pepper, or your carrot. You know, where did it come from? If it came from far away, then, you know, it's, you know, I don't order my sushi at a gas station. You know, I mean, I want to get it from people that deal with products that are in their height of flavor, and generally that's going to be at where you get the better deal on cost as well. But you want to go to the professionals, the people that do that. And taking a look at the labels, what's going to help you with that? Look at that date. You know, look at the date for the expiration, when it expires. And after that, it's all on you. So take a look at the date. Take that time. If you don't know the ingredients, again, look them up. I'm not going to look up the Shin Japanese noodles. I did taste the broth. It was. I enjoyed it. I don't know if how good it is for me. I can't imagine, and I don't think one spoonful is going to kill me. But look up the ingredients. That's the thing about cell phones, is we can just look up things, and you have all that information and access right in your fingertips.
Well, in looking at the package of the Shin Ramen, yes, it has 50 ingredients. And when we couldn't get it at some point, we went to try and make it on our own. Really, it's just a chili garlic paste is all it is. But they do have a lot of additives to make it shelf stable. And that's where he got into his mad scientist routine this week. Was like, okay, if I throw out the packet, the little additional seasoning packet, can I do this on my own? And he did. We did the chicken base. We did garlic.
I didn't know
ginger.
He threw out the packet.
He threw out the packet, and he declared, I'm not using the packet again, because he went into mad scientist mode, and he actually successfully made his own sauce packet with just spices.
Well, he did good. He did good. Yeah. Then so I got bypassed on the fact that he was doing his food science thing.
Well, he did do packets. He did. He did one that was the regular Shin, and then he went back and made his own the next day.
Well, chip off the old block. Chip off the old block. But anyway, yeah. See what's in there. Look it up. Know what you're eating. I mean, you are what you eat, right? We are what we eat. So it's a good thing to make sure that, you know what you're putting into your body. You know, the garbage in, garbage out kind of a thing to be. So anyway, take your time on that. Take your time. Also, one of the things that really concerns me, and we could obviously do an entire multiple shows on just this, and that's just the contamination that's everywhere. So we don't want to put any of our own contamination on something. Okay, there are basically three different types of contamination. Biological, okay, I've got a cold and I sneeze on somebody. Chemical, I spill bleach in your chicken noodle soup. Or bacteria. And all of these are things that we should be concerned about. But now, not only do we have to be concerned about cross-contamination ourselves, you know, using cutting chicken and then cutting, you know, celery on the same board, something like that. But there's the cross-contamination of everything else. There's cross-contamination in the water sources, in the air quality. But one of the big ones, and we're going to have to figure out a way to get this back, folks, and that's the soil. The soil has so much contamination in it, and it's just getting more and more run down. I think they've been able to attack, you know, things like Roundup easy enough, but there's a lot of stuff out there. So just be, you know, buy from reputable sources, buy foods that are fresh.
Well, and to be certified organic, the ground has to have not had any synthetic fertilizers in the last 3 years. So it can't be something that's done even just this one season. It takes several years to kind of get it back to where it needs to be and get conditioned, get it back to a healthy, stable environment.
Well, and so another reason to buy organic. We always say buying organic is a great way to go. Sometimes it's a little bit more, you know, you pay a couple bucks, but what is it that you want? I mean, I think that you want the highest quality, but most healthy food. I mean, healthy has to be first. The quality could be the highest you could imagine.
But
if it's not healthy, you're in trouble.
Did you know that you can tell by the price code that it's organic or if it's not?
Yes, I do. I can't recall what. Is it a number?
Okay, so real quick, you know the little price sticker. It's got the price lookup code on it. Every single thing has got its own designation. If it has four digits, then it is conventionally grown, and it can very much have pesticides. And then if it's a five-digit code that starts with a 9, it is organic. It is certified organic. And if it's a five-digit code with an 8 in front of it, don't touch it. It is GMO, genetically modified.
Oh, yeah. You want to stay away from that. Well, good to know. You got to pop that in your, just take your cell phones, go into wherever it is you put your passwords, you know, and pop that in there. Good information. I like that.
And not everything has to be organic. Things that have a nice, hard, protective skin on them that protect the inside flesh from being contaminated, those don't have to be organic.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're protected from outside sources. Largely, maybe not water, but a lot of other things. These things when we start getting food that's out of flush with being natural, you know, you might be wondering why maybe you're having headaches or maybe you're having nausea or something like that. Then very well could be, you know, the food we're getting. And when you stop to think about, you know, fast food and what needs to be done to get food to be okay in a can, or be okay in a freezer, be okay just fresh sitting in a produce department or wrapped in plastic, you know, in the chicken meat department.
Well, and there's a funny case story that a friend of ours that for years thought she could not have gluten. She couldn't have any bread, any wheat, rye, barley, anything like that. And then she found out actually that she doesn't have that intolerance. Her intolerance was anything that was not organic. When she started eating organic breads, she was able to eat gluten again. So that was a pretty interesting find.
Yep. And I was thinking about something, you know, when you go in the store and you walk by those things and they have the ground up, seems like they've made a peanut butter out of about every nut out there. So I guess it's like walnut butter or almond butter. I don't know.
Yeah, because they have the natural oils in them.
Yeah, yeah. But well, all nuts have, you know, quite a bit of oil. But I think that if you're grinding something up like that, and you take and look at, I don't know if you've got some organic peanut butter, maybe that's all that's in there is, you know, oil added to the ground peanuts. And I don't know if there's a modifier or anything, but that's got to be the freshest way to go.
Yeah, there's the ones usually in your health section. There's usually a health section in your grocery store that you can get the pure, fresh ground butters like that, nut butters.
Nut butters, yeah. Well, you know, hey, they make a good candy bar too.
Ooh.
But I think that if you just look for ways of being able to purchase, you know, foods that are going to be better for you, and you might say, well, you know, then they're going to cost more and I'm on a budget. Well, we all know about that. But one of the things about it is that, you know, you can curve off a lot of that price when you figure that, you know, the average household throws away between 25% and 30% of just the products that it purchases for consumption. Things that aren't completely eaten, things that go into the leftover category, things that stay in the leftover category and then get thrown in the garbage.
Well, if you talk about vegetables, I try not to buy anything more than 3 days out. Because mm-hmm. if I can't use it within 3 days, it's probably not going to get used.
Yeah. You know, and again, it's okay to use your freezer, but a refrigerator is not a hospital, Okay. And I'll repeat that. A refrigerator is not a hospital. If you put something in a refrigerator, it's not going to get better. It's going to stay where it's at. So don't think that you're going to be able to throw it in there. But throw it in there, buy yourself some time, pull it out, throw it in some soup or something down the road. That works as well. But anyway, we're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. You are with Chef Cal and Krista, Cooking Like a Pro. We appreciate you joining us here at KCNR, 1460 AM.
A peanut butter sandwich made with jam, one for me and one for David Amram. A peanut butter sandwich made with jam, stick, 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 stick. I can think.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals. And the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas. But our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro. Again, we appreciate you taking your valuable time to listen to us while you're driving around or hanging out wherever you're hanging out. You can probably guess by the little jingle leading in. We were going to talk a little bit about chocolate. I told my wife, I think it was yesterday, I said, I want to talk about chocolate. I don't know. Well, you know, we talk about whatever it is we want, but, you know, I mean, it's a great thing. I mean, imagine at some point in history, I haven't looked this up or Googled it, but I could guarantee that it was used as currency.
Who would have thought that this little dark brown thing would actually taste good if you added sugar to it? Because on its own, it is not fun to eat straight.
Yes, yes. Well, just plain, you know, chocolate liqueur, that final product that you actually eventually get to, you're right, it's bitter because it has no sweetness. But it comes from the cocoa tree. And these are pods, and these pods contain beans, of course, and those beans we have to harvest. I like this idea because they harvest it with a machete. Doesn't that sound like fun, just harvesting?
Sounds like Indiana Jones.
This machete sounds fun. Yeah, I mean, I got some pretty good-sized knives that I don't really get to, you know, use them in kind of in that swinging fashion, but then they have to go through the fermentation process, the drying process, and then the roasting process. And when you get to that point, then you have your cocoa beans, which my wife eats them like M&Ms, but those are covered with. No, they're espresso beans covered by chocolate.
Which are espresso beans done just like cocoa beans? I mean, it sounds like the same process.
Yeah.
From harvesting to roasting.
A deeper roast. We need to get, hey, if there's a coffee expert out there or a coffee guru, give us a call down here at 530-605-4567. Yeah, I would imagine it's just got to be a much bigger, heavier roast. But then that's what you pretty much end up. You're pretty much down to how much you want to grind it. You know, if you grind it all the way down to a powder, of course, you have cocoa powder, which we use in our baking and quite a variety of flavoring applications. But mostly African countries, so that it has to travel a little bit. Mostly actually the West African countries is where you're going to find your chocolate plantations, and that's where it's going to come in. It also takes a while. It takes 5 years to grow.
Really?
You know, it's similar to, what was I thinking of the other day that we had? It's been a long time since we've had it, but it was the, on our sushi, the green stuff. What are
wasabi?
They called?
Wasabi?
Wasabi. Remember we had that fresh wasabi?
We had fresh green
and,
wasabi.
Yeah, it takes like at least 5 years just to grow these little wasabis in a, and then they were scraping them on the fresh sushi. That was delicious. That was delicious.
Anyway, back to chocolate.
Back to chocolate. But anyway, so it takes a while to grow. But you know, chocolate's also good for you. It's not just because, you know, you hear of, people sometimes just saying, oh, I just gotta have a chocolate bar and not a sexist show. It's just that it seems to be one of the things that, you hear, you know, at least I hear females in my life say, hey,
it is good for the mind.
I need some chocolate. I need some chocolate. And it's actually, it releases serotonin.
Yes.
Yep, which is, it's a compound that relaxes you. So, maybe chocolate before you. I don't know how. Well, I guess it depends on how sweet. Now, you like chocolate that's, you know, that's kind of, I would say, semi-sweet.
A dark chocolate person.
Yeah, yeah.
High cocoa, low sugar, low butter.
Yeah. So you can get most anything out there. Most things run, we'll start off at like 80% where it's really too bitter. You'd have to do it in some kind of cooking application. I think you start getting close to 60, then, you know, it can be, I think, quite often that's where you find some of these chocolates that are really nice, and they'll start to flavor those with maybe sea salt or some kind of maybe a liqueur, something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think, the semi-sweet milk chocolate down that area. But, yeah, I'm an 80-90% gal. I like it dark.
Okay.
It's all about the chocolate, not about the sugar.
Well, I don't know if I can agree with that, but, you know, well, we'll agree to disagree. Chocolate liqueur is pretty rough. But you know, if you're a chocolate connoisseur and you're really getting into, it's kind of like wine or anything else. You know, you partake in what it is that you like, right? And I think that when it comes to any ingredient, whether it's chocolate or anything else, you know, hopefully the more you enjoy it, the deeper and more you go towards its natural setting. You know, the natural product. Something doesn't have a bunch of things added to it because your chocolate's going to have, going to have your sugar, it's going to have vanilla. Of course, we can add milk, and then you got your milk chocolate. I see those little chocolates with the alcohol in them. Those are good. Almonds, sea salt.
Raspberries.
Well, sea salt's good because sea salt, salt's a flavor enhancer, so it's just going to make your chocolate taste more like what it is. So I don't know that I'd use, sea salt on a Hershey bar because it's just going to make it taste like wax, probably more so. But I put Celtic salt in my coffee. You know, I use Black Rifle coffee in the morning and I just put a little sprinkle of salt in there, and it just, try that, folks, brings out a great flavor.
Well, salt does two things.
It just pulls out a little bit.
Yeah, salt enhances the intrinsic flavor of the item, and if there's bitterness, it counters bitterness, it smooths it out.
So there you go. You can try that. And as far as melting chocolate, double boiler, double boilers are great. So you're going to talk about a pan with water in it and a separate pan on top of it. I'd cover that top pan. You don't want any water to get into your chocolate. Water will seize chocolate up, and you'll end up with something you really don't want to see.
turns into kind of a nasty ball, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty much garbage at that point.
But then can you fix it?
You're pretty much starting. It's pretty. You might be able to drizzle some water. It depends on how it broke, but I've always just tossed it because it just becomes a mess. It really doesn't even melt down much any better because it separates. And it becomes this big cloggy mess. So anyway, but yeah. Lots to do with chocolate. I remember Dean McCurio's making chocolate mousse all the time and people just loving that.
Well,
so,
I have in front of me something you just handed me and it's my gold. It's Snickers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My favorite chocolate is Snickers. Chocolate and caramel.
Yeah. What else is in it?
I think it's a nougat, caramel, peanuts.
All things that you can actually associate with a food product?
I think so. I don't want to read the label because it's my favorite.
Oh, because you don't want to ruin it.
I don't want to ruin it. Snickers satisfies.
Yeah.
If I get hangry, I have a Snickers.
Yeah, getting back to chocolate mousse, I was trained through a French apprenticeship, so my training prepared me for making things from scratch. And we used to make chocolate mousse, and when we would make it, the French style is that you would separate your eggs, you'd whip your egg yolks in a pan over simmering water. I used to put a few drops of water in there. And then you just kind of whisk that up. The egg whites are separated. Those are beat separate. And then you have your whipped cream. And then you cook those eggs. You want to get those up above your 150, degrees. I mean, byproduct that we've said that a lot here. It's a byproduct that you trust. You know, I mean, if you're worried about having to get everything up to a particular zone or temperature or degree, you might want to shop somewhere else. You know, I mean, if you don't trust you need to trust the people we're buying our food from. And unfortunately, that's kind of the problem that we have now is, you know, in asking that question of trusting the people that you buy your food from. And we're not obviously not a political show, but, I mean, that's like saying trust our government, right? I mean, cause they are USDA. I mean, they are in charge of the food.
I trust Ghirardelli. They're going to have some good chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyway, so then once we've cooked these eggs, we add our melted chocolate into our cooked egg yolk. And when I say cooked, I don't mean scrambled. I mean heated. And then it's the thing about it is you want it to be airy. And anytime you're dealing with anything that you want to be airy, you're adding air to it. You don't want to beat air out of it. So once you've added something to a point where it's peaked, right? You know what a peak is, right?
It's when you take the whip out and then you can take it and hold it up and the little tip kind of curls over a little bit.
Yeah, and when I was teaching, a while back, one of the things I used to do is for the kids, and these were high school kids here locally, that I would have them part of their final, their practical final, in the classroom was that I'd give them some cream and a little bit of sugar and a stainless steel bowl and a whisk. And I'd say, okay, whisk. And they would have to whisk until they could hold the bowl over their head.
Now, you just did this a couple of days ago. You were testing yourself. You were timing yourself, whipping cream by
hand with
a whisk. I think it took you, 3 minutes?
3 minutes, yeah. My arm's still sore. But I only did that because I hadn't done it in a while, and I just kind of wanted to see if I could still man up and make whipped cream from scratch. But, it came out fine. And, again, that's what is you're adding air. So you don't want to whisk something in. So I've got my melted chocolate, and I've got my egg mixture in there. If you had any rum, in this case, we would use rum. You'd warm the rum up, and it would have been added with the chocolate. But you don't want to whip the whipped cream in because you're whipping air out of it. And then you certainly don't want to whip the egg whites because then you're whipping air out of those. And those are much more fragile. And then you allow this to set up and you just have a beautiful chocolate mousse. You'd be just amazed at how well it sets up. And it's just perfect piping bag consistency.
Well, when you add the chocolate mixture to the whipped cream mixture, don't you have to fold it really
gently?
No,
yeah, the chocolate to the egg yolks.
Oh, you have the chocolate to the egg yolks.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying no whipping. It's all folding. Yeah, the correct term, all folding. Fold, fold it like you do, like you fold clothes, like you fold things.
Underneath.
A spatula, a real rubber spatula, and just fold it, but don't whip it. You don't want to whip the air back out of it because you've done all this work to get this beautiful, nice, light, fluffy. Man, I have made enough chocolate mousse in my career to fill a couple swimming pools, I'm sure. We went through a pretty, quite a, fairly rapidly at the materials route. And when I, it was always on, and it wasn't chocolate pudding. Okay. I have a friend of mine that he calls my chocolate mousse pudding, and he calls my sauce, gravy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm not sure. We haven't been getting along well. That could be it. All right. Jeff Cal and my wife Krista here at Cooking Like a Pro. We'll be back in just a moment.
We want to invite you to the second annual Justice Crab Feed.
This event will be held at the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, September 28th, and the money raised at the event will go towards combating human trafficking.
Last year, this event sold out. It was great to see Reading come out in full force for this cause.
The meals include crab and tri-tip. There will also be a pool bar available.
If you would like information or to buy tickets, email us at justicecrabfeed@gmail.com.
See you there!
Time for the Young Eagles Rally at Benton Field. Young people can get free airplane flights Saturday, September 28th between 8:30 and noon. Local volunteer pilots will take young people ages 8 to 17 for flights. Meet at the EAA Quonset Hut, 2955 South Street, just off Platt. Parents or legal guardian must fill out the registration. Pre-registration is required at yeda.org. Sign up today at yedaY.org.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and price right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. That's amore.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro. That's what we want you to do. We want you to take this show and it to be a part of your expansion into food, all things food. Food, wine, breakfast, lunch, you name it. Dinner, dessert.
Cooking is a mindset. That's what I've learned from you. It's something you really have to just understand and trust yourself to try new things.
Well, that's the biggest part of it is trying. And so many people, you know, maybe they didn't get an opportunity to try things when they were younger. You know, maybe they're, you know, for whatever the growing up situation was, perhaps they just didn't get a chance. I mean, you know, for me, you know, I was eating, you know, anything fried in a tortilla and calves, brains, and scrambled eggs. So, you know.
Well, and speaking of trying
heart, things, liver, you name it. So,
something I wanted to say real quick is I was talking to a friend earlier this week, and she said, I don't want to try cooking things because I don't want to throw them away because it didn't work. So it's keeping her from trying to do new techniques and try different ingredients. And what I want to say is I'm proud of our son who took a 25-cent ramen and just took some spices from our cabinet, and then he just wanted to see how the spices worked. And if it didn't work, you know what? We were out 50 cents.
Yeah. And you know the chili oil you mentioned, or the garlic paste, rather, is sambal leek. That's what you want. You want to get the sambal leek. It's not very expensive. It's one of those things you can get in an Asian market for maybe a third to half of what it would cost to get in a regular grocery store, or a name brand grocery store. I shop a lot at Asian markets. You know, if you're in a metropolitan area, of course, you've got a little, you got a market for every, you know, culture and nationality that's out there. So you have, you know, a lot more exposure to, you know, more authentic ingredients. But,
But let yourself fail. Pick something that's inexpensive and do just, you know, be mad scientist. See what things go together. If they don't work, you know, you're not out a lot of money.
Well, you know, well, if you Google it, right, even though not everything's, you know, of course, real on the Internet, but, you know, Google it, get some ideas, you know, get stuff that other people have tried. That's one of the things that I'm doing with my cookbook is having people try recipes, because just because I make it in a industrial or commercial kitchen doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the same at home. We have different, you know, BTUs coming out of your stove or out of your stove, and then you've got, you know, different temperatures in your oven, whether it's regulated. I mean, there's so many different things that can cause you know, something to maybe not be balanced in the same way. So that's why we practice these recipes. But it's one thing that the recipes they're going to end up being in our book. They've been practiced for most of them for at least 40 years. I mean, that would be my late teens, and so, but so again, you're right. Try it. And same thing with wine tasting. I know we generally talk about tasting wine towards the end of the show here. Not that we, you know, pop a bottle or anything like that, but I wanted to talk a little bit instead of a particular varietal or a type of wine. Varietal meaning, you know, a Pinot Noir, a Cab, a Chardonnay, a Sauvignon Blanc, that, you know, of the actual varietal, the name of the grape. Just trying different things. But, and again, we've talked about, you know, drinking what you like, but read the back of the bottle. It's no different than as we talked about it at the beginning of the show about reading the package, looking at the, you know, the dates on there, when it was processed, where it was processed, how it was processed. They're probably not going to tell you, but the rest of it they will, you know. And and this has got to be one of the best things to do when it comes to learning more about wine. Hands down, go to the wine country. You know, go to, and it's expanded so much for me and Krista. Wine country is mostly Napa Valley because that's where I proposed to her, and we celebrated quite a few anniversaries there. Not just Sonoma on the other side of the mountain range there, but Lodi used to be the type of appellation that would just grow grapes for bulk processing. Some of the kits you can get to make your own wine. We've done that a few times as groups of couples that have gotten together. But, you know, it's now Lodi is there's probably hundreds of vineyards down there when I drive down through that area. The vineyards are everywhere, and over if you want to go back to the coast, Mendocino, was a month or so ago, we talked about Paso Robles. I mean, go up. I mean, there's appellations all around us up here.
Well, yeah here, right here in our own city.
Someone told me there's about 40. I haven't counted. I probably ought to Google that.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but, you know, up into the foothills, because they get the cooler climates up in the foothills, there's a lot of up in that area.
Yeah. And then you start heading north, you know, you get into Oregon. Oregon's just a beautiful temperature to get some amazing Pinot Noirs, that grape that needs a little more growth, slow growth, I should say, because it takes on a more real good development with that. And then you've got, you get up into Washington, and that's where you're getting your Merlots. So, yeah.
It's just, I would encourage people to do what we did back when we started our wine group, is we would pick a varietal for the month. This was a monthly gathering, and every couple would bring a different bottle from a different area, somewhere from Argentina, somewhere from Washington, somewhere from California, and we would taste test one particular varietal across a bunch of different appellations to see how they differed, and that's how we kind of got to know how each particular grape tasted.
And we did that quite a while. I think we ran out of varietals more than once.
I think we had too many couples and too much wine.
I think we got to the point where, though, it got a little crazy. I think we got up to, I don't know, like maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 couples, and everyone's got a, you know, a ball of champagne if you're covered in champagne. So yeah, it makes it a little hard to taste. You know, your tongue does get tired. Well, it also gets a little bit,
but that's
a little
how
bit
I
blurry.
Learned. Yeah, that's how I learned the different varietals is doing that. Yeah.
Nope, it's a great thing to do. It's a great thing to do with some friends. You know, because you know, get a group of you know, three or four couples over where you can go through a, you know, a bottle of wine and be able to just, you know, taste it without having to, you know, feel like you're drinking an entire glass. But there's a lot of things about wine, I think, that scare people. You were kind of talking about your friend that, you know, didn't want to, you know, maybe experiment in food because it didn't want to end up wasting something. And a lot of people do the same thing about wine, so they'll just stick with what they know, which is what you want. You want to stick with what you like. But I think, you know, we go through this life once and experiencing as many, you know, cool joys as you can, the better off I think you are.
And you're probably pretty safe in the $15 range just for an average bottle of wine. You don't need to go out to the 80, 90s. And, you know, the $5, that's just, you know, why bother? But I think
No, there are wines. There are wines that
there's
probably...
There's some.
Well, that's where it comes down to reading the label. Okay, where did it come from? How old is it? I mean, I'm not going to, you know, Chardonnays are not meant to lay down or, you know, store is the term we use. We say lay down. They're produced to drink. And, you know, a lot of wines are, probably most of them are. If you have a wine that's a, you know, a Riesling, like a sweeter wine, and it's, the vintage, you know, the year it was produced is, you know, 8 years ago, then, you know, you're looking at something. Now, you know, I mean, you can get wines, of course, that didn't last that long. No, you can still get wines that are good, that were produced during the Reagan administration, if you want. I've had a bunch of wines that are well over 20 years old. They were absolutely amazing, but that's because they were made, they were produced to be that way.
Okay, so I got a question for you. When it gets to the shelf, does that mean it's ready to drink at that point?
No. So? No, because if that was the case, then you'd never have a library. You'd never have anything that you would lay down. Knowing the wine and knowing how well it's made, but when you mention the price range, when you start getting up into anything that's over, you know, $20-$25, I would say per bottle, then that's a wine that's going to be much higher caliber wine, because you can get wines in the 7-8, you know, area, 15-12-10, anything in that area is generally going to be fine. But what I want to mention as well is I think people can get intimidated by it. You know, am I swirling it correctly? Am I using the right glass? You know, maybe they don't know how to open the wine. Yeah, there's a variety of things to it because it is something that's, it's a beverage. It has a lot of opportunity in a restaurant to be able to have a sommelier or, you know, just a server that's able to, you know, do that presentation. You know, that's part of what you pay for when you order a bottle of wine is that it's presented well. You know, I mean, if it's an expensive wine, you know, a nice crystal, you know, glass, you know, is great. You know, if it's a box wine, then I guess it'd be styrofoam cup.
Now there are some, I think, isn't that black box wine? They're trying to make some of these box wines actually.
They actually are.
Yeah.
They actually are.
Be pretty darn good.
Yeah. And my mom's happy about that.
Yes, she does like her box wine.
She does like her boxes. But a couple other things, you know, when you're at a restaurant, you're not sure, ask to taste it. We've mentioned that here before. If they've got a wine by the glass available and you ask to try a sample, if you're just come on, you know, because that's how you learn. And we might say no, I wouldn't think so. I've never said no, and I've had, you know, restaurants for 4 decades. I think, you know, hey, I want to try that. Could I try that? You know, it's kind of going into a place that's a brewery and saying, you know, what's that one like? You know, when they got, you know, 800 beers, you know. Okay, sarcastic. They've got a lot of beers, and here we have to, you know, decide which one I want. Was obvious. So same thing with wine.
When there are some restaurants that actually have wine on tap, to where they've got a preservation system that they can just do a short pour for you.
That's really what it is, because it's the same as beer. You know, it's oxidation. You don't want air to get to it. So if you have a preservation system that keeps that from happening, then you're good. Another thing is that, you know, ask your server for a suggestion. Your server you know, if they're worth their salt, they're going to give you a something that you're going to like, right? Why not? Because you're the one that's going to be tipping them with no tax on tips. So anyway, just ask them if they match your wine to the food you've selected. So we appreciate you tuning in here at Cooking Like a Pro. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful remainder of your week. Enjoy the cool weather that's coming in. And again, we appreciate you tuning in here at KCNR 1460 AM 96.5 FM. Again, have a great week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.